This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is August 4th, 2021. Well, Nick, you gotta feed the dragon, you gotta feed the meme.
Yes, you do. And we're seeing that in Robinhood. This stock now is really just like a Las Vegas carnival show. The stock was the most highly anticipated IPO of the year, came public last week. It surged as high as $85 a share today. Now it's back around $61, if you could believe it. What can you say? The stock opened up at $38. It was a kind of a flop IPO, and it hit the Reddit boards, and now it's the latest meme thriller. I don't know what to say. It's if you're not a gambler, you know, just stay away from this. It's just all over the map, but you got to chuckle at it. It's just incredible. So just think about it. Somebody that didn't know what they were doing bought up at $85, and now the stock's at $61 in an hour later.
What did that stock open at on the IPO?
It was $38 on the IPO, and that was just less than a week ago. So it's rather remarkable to see it go from, you know, $38, and today it hit a high of $85, now sitting at $61. It's what a mover, right? What can you say?
Well, according to Noble Dracone, who was a guest on the show yesterday on Financial Survival Network, he informed me that Robinhood has an extremely large Dogecoin position, and it's actually a stealth crypto play. Who would have thunk, huh?
Yeah, I had no idea of that at all. And I have not verified. That's the first time I've heard of it, but that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, the CEOs or the officers at that company, they look like young guys that would be into the crypto plays. So today, crypto having a pretty decent pop, up about 2%. Maybe that is part of it, but you know, just the way this thing is trading, it's just all over the map, and it actually is trading like a new meme stock now. So, what can you say? Just add it to the list of GME and AMC and COS and the rest of them.
Yeah, here it is. It said Robinhood said in its IPO prospectus that 17% of transaction-based revenue in the latest quarter came from cryptocurrencies, up 4% a year earlier. Within the crypto business, 34% of the revenue came from Dogecoin transactions. So the stuff, Dogecoin, by Musk's own admission, is a joke, is a hustle. But this hustle is bringing in money for these guys.
Well, I mean, what can you say? This is where we are at this stage of the economy, or in life, I should say, where, you know, we have such unprecedented central bank intervention. There's so much loose, easy money out there, so much money being created by the Federal Reserve, by the European Central Bank, by the Bank of Japan. I mean, the list goes on and on. You could just throw it, you know, any central bank you want out there, but it's just unprecedented amount of capital flushing around in the system. And this is what happens. You get jokes like Dogecoin that actually become, you know, an actual viable asset. What could you say? I don't even know any other way to put it. But, you know, it's, you know, all I can say is when this deck of cards comes crashing down, I don't think it's going to be able to be repaired anytime soon.
Yeah, Humpty Dumpty is about to take a fall. Hey, one thing we should talk about is that the administration issued another eviction moratorium through the CDC, which is specifically found to be unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court, but why let that bother you, right? I wonder what effect that's going to have on real estate and the market in general, or is it just another ember in the fire?
No, it does have an effect on real estate, and I'll tell you what it is. It's a lot of these people want to put their homes up for sale, and they can't do it. So because you have a tenant in there and you cannot evict that tenant, even though they haven't paid you any rent, you are stuck and you cannot even put your home up for sale. And that's why we're seeing, you know, so much supply strain right now. And you know, there's very, very little supply on the market. It's partly, I don't even think partly, I think a big reason is this moratorium that they have going on. So it affects a lot of things, and you know, it's going to last pretty much in 2 more months, and we'll see if they extend it after that. It could be extended again. So you know, that is definitely affecting the market, the real estate market, and I think it will continue like that.
Hey, and not to mention there we had a foreclosure moratorium that's going to expire, I guess, in most places. And that's been tying up the supply as well. Hopefully, many of you out there, if you're in arrears on your mortgage, the market's gone up enough so that you can sell it and take a profit or at least pay off the back mortgage. But all these things, and then we look at the unemployment or the employment numbers that just got released today, and again, another miss.
Yeah, this is from the ADP job report, and I like this report because it's actual, you know, payrolls. It's not done by the government, not done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, but this report was released earlier today, shortly after 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was a big miss. They got 330,000 new jobs added to the private sector payrolls in the month of July. The expectations, 650,000 new jobs were expected, and that's a big miss. So believe it or not, in a weird way, the weak number is actually bullish for the market because it gives the Federal Reserve a reason to continue with the easy money policies that they already have in place. So again, as we all know, they're printing $120 billion a month in and they're buying mortgage-backed securities and U.S. Treasuries. What else are they buying? We don't really know, but at least that's what we're told. And, you know, so if you have a number that is not very strong, you know, that keeps the Fed in play going forward. So this Friday, we're going to get the non-farm payroll report by the BLS, and we'll see what that has to say, and we'll see the market's reaction.
I have some really nice swampland in Florida that I think the Fed might be interested in because they're buying every other scam on the planet, right?
This is the time to put it up for sale right now.
Hey, you know, you'll just drain it. Everything will be fine, right?
Well, somebody will buy it. A private equity firm will buy it. Maybe BlackRock will buy it. They're buying a lot of homes right now.
Yeah, hey, there's no limit to what they're willing to buy, is there?
No, not at all. And I've never seen anything quite like this. I don't know if anybody has. I'm a student of history, and I go back, I look at the markets, and most technicians do this. We go back and we look at every chart we could get a hold of, and we go back to Roman times. If we can go back further than that, we will. And we just try to compare what has happened in the past, because what has happened before will happen again. We know that. And I don't think I can really recall any incident where this has taken place like this. So, you know, I'm in uncharted waters right now, and I think most people are. I'm sure it's taken place one other time or at least several times before in history. I just haven't been able to pinpoint it, but I've never seen easy money like this. This is off the charts.
Yeah. Well, it's a new experiment and modern monetary theory. And look, if it was easy, if you could just create wealth by printing money, it would have been done already. But it, you know, as a somewhat of a student of Austrian economics, we know that this just cannot be the case. It just can't work that way. But they're going to keep doing it until they can't do it anymore. I think that's obvious. So, hey, Bitcoin under 40,000 looks like it's hitting resistance. What's your take?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about Bitcoin in the last segment that we did. And like I said, I thought it would struggle up here above the 40,000 level. In fact, I gave you the exact number of 41,400 or right around there. And we got to 41,950, and you can see that it's pulled back. So we are still into the resistance zone. We'll see what it does over the next couple of days, actually going into the end of the week. That'll tell us a little bit more. But, you know, I wouldn't say you can't do a little bit more backing and filling or make an attempt at going back up again. But I just don't see it going very far from here at all.
All right. Well, we kind of been tracing the top, and you know, it had a bit of a retrace, a bounce, and that just brings more people in, and then we know what happens then, don't we?
Yeah, and another point I want to make is if Bitcoin closes below 34,400, right now it's around 39,000, we're just right at 39,000. If it closes below 34,400, that's going to be a really, really bearish sign. So everybody should mark that number down, and the number is 34,400. If it closes below there at any point on a daily chart basis, that's a really, really negative sign.
Really negative. And then we could see that long-awaited decline. And hey, for all of you out there who are crypto people, you know, buying opportunities will present themselves. We're in the, I guess it'll be the seventh or eighth crash of Bitcoin since it was conceived. And it's going to be interesting to see. At some point, I just see a shift to Ethereum. We'll forget about the government and all that. Hey, gold is up today pretty strongly, isn't it?
Yeah, when you look at gold futures today, we're basically flat. But where we are at is around the 1814, 1850 level, and it's hanging in there. It's not a big up day by any stretch, but it's hanging in there today. So one thing I would say is gold started the day very, very strong with a big gap higher move, and it has faded. So just understand it started the day out really, really strong. But as we speak, it has pulled back pretty sharply. It traded all the way up to, I believe, 1836, now trading at around 1814. So, and that's on gold futures. So it started out really, really strong, but it has had a fade, and it's right back in its range at the moment.
And I will confess, I didn't refresh my Kitco screen, and I was still dealing with it. It was up $18 the ounce, and now it's faded, like you said. You know, it's not unusual when you see those fades, if it doesn't go negative, to see it bounce back after the COMEX closes at 1 o'clock or 1:30. Right.
Yeah, we see that a lot when the 1:30 close takes place, and then all of a sudden, you know, gold starts to make a move back up and finishes, you know, towards the highs of the day. We see that very, very often, and that could easily be the case again. But as of right now, as of, you know, this time of the day, it has had a pretty good little fade.
Yeah, yeah. That's those imaginary sellers, those speculators who always lose money in the market, according to the Commitment of Traders report. I guess they're taking it on the chin today, and well, we'll see what happens. Silver down very slightly, huh?
Yeah, so silver today on the futures right now, down about 0.3%, sitting at around 25.50. And again, you know, if you take a look at the precious metals in general, you know, they've been very, very choppy ever since that June expiration. They got hit pretty hard, and you know, it's been a grind ever since there, but they're hanging in there. Silver also had a pretty good fade from the high of the day. It was trading above 26,000, and again, now trading at around 25.50. So, you know, we'll see where it finishes the session, but more importantly, I want to see where we finish the end of the week on Friday. That tells me a lot more as far as the precious metal patterns go.
All right, so let's see where we finish on Friday. And you always say it's not how they open, it's how they close. And let's see where that goes. In the meantime, go over to inthemoneystocks.com. Find out how Nick has been beating the markets consistently for decades now. Check out the Twitter feeds at ITMS. At NickSantiago01 and at Kerry Lutz, and send your emails to KL@KerryLutz.com. And if we're helping you, you cryptocurrency investors, by being a contrarian indicator, then just send a thanks. All right, Nick, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Friday, rather.
sounds good, Kerry. Have a great day.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.